And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Brewwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, brought to you by LuckyMojoCurioCompany.com in Forestville, California. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TroubleCrownCountry.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a quick moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Condimental Lee of ContimentalLee.com in Mission Viejo, California. And this week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Aura LaForest of AuraLaForest.com in Quebec. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, using traditional African American folk magic practices, using of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a quick moment. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Hi. First of all, I want to make a little correction on what you announced there. LuckyMojoCurioCompany.com does not resolve to our site. It's LuckyMojo.com. Okay. Having said that, hello, everybody, and it's always good to be here. My hands smell like, controlling oil today, plus rose of crucifixion. What a combination. Controlling wins. If you mix rose of crucifixion and then you mix controlling, you end up smelling like controlling. Just thought I'd mention that. That is the world as I know it. Boy, I'm just as... I'm what they call high-smelling right now, very much so. Well, folks, it has been a great week here. We've done a lot of work, as always, and I wanted to give a special shout-out to our good friend and former shop manager, Robin Peterson, Sister Robin Conjure, as she is known. She came into the shop on Friday. She had left us, and I think she was pretty upfront about it, due to some health concerns. They have been taken care of. And she is now in school, studying, doing things that she wants to do. But to our great happiness and admiration and relief, she's decided to take us on part-time, and she is going to be working one day a week in the shop. She's going to be working under Heidi, who took her job as the shop manager, Heidi Simpson. But we have Robin back, and we are very glad. One of the best oil makers we ever had, one of the fastest workers, and one of the most sensitive and considerate to clients. So if you need any help in the shop on Fridays, you can look her up. She's mostly just going to be making things. I don't think she's going to be doing a lot of customer service, because that's what she's here to do, is make things. But I remember I've mentioned in the last couple of weeks how many people are ordering oils, and how we were like, oh, my gosh, how will we get these oils made? Well, I'm making stock oil. That's why I smell so high. And Robin has been coming in now Fridays. And that's in addition to Brian, who's there on Saturdays and Sundays, former employee who has also come back part-time just to make oils. Mm. So, big happiness in the lab, and I'm very, very, very glad, I'll tell you that. Because, nothing makes me feel worse than to think I have let people down and not been able to get their orders out just as fast as I can. So they are going out, folks, but we are all handmade. They're all, each little bottle, hand-filled by a real human being. So, you know, there's no factory here. It's just people. And we do the best we can. So that's my news for the week. That, and I've been working very hard on a project that has been part of my life, my gosh, for 20 years now. This project is the cataloging of all of the people who granted interviews to Harry Middleton Hyatt during the 1930s and up on into 1970 on the subject of hoodoo. These were down-home practitioners, home-based people. There was also a high percentage of professional readers, root workers, conjure doctors, and herbalists. And Harry Hyatt had made sure that he'd written down a number for every one of them, and then he had a name, and he had the names and the numbers in a book called, strangely enough, The Numbers Book. And he lost his numbers book in a move, and therefore all the names of the people were disassociated with him. And it became my ambition and goal to try to reconnect those people with their names. And I've been working on this project for 20 years, just off and on, whenever I feel like it. This week, I've been doing a lot. And we're going to have some news about that upcoming. An upcoming show is going to be devoted to that subject. So if you like authentic, old, traditional hoodoo, and if you're interested in the people who taught hoodoo in the 1930s and 40s, and by taught, I mean these were professional people, most of them, some of them amateurs and home workers, you're going to want to watch, you're going to want to listen to that show when we get around to it, but I'll tell you more about that later. All right, that's it for me. How are things in your world, Ollie?
Things are fantastic. I only have a few things to say, but I'll say them real briefly. First, what you just mentioned was brilliant. I love it. I'm familiar with this project. I think it's great. And I just want to say one real quick thing about it. What you just said, people who are interested in hoodoo, the real people who taught hoodoo, because a lot of times, I think in the conversation, you get this talk of old school hoodoo, you get this talk of ancestors, but it becomes this abstract concept in the process. The real people who spoke up and had voices, their voices are silent. So more power to you, Ms. Kat. I'm really excited about this. Just going to leave that
well,
out there.
Thank you. And I intend to do the same thing for Nubel Niles Puckett's book as well. You know, if I could find
you
a research
were a woman
assistant.
Right after my own time.
Well, see, Nubel Niles Puckett in 1926, he kept a list of the names, and it's printed in the back of his book because it was his doctoral thesis, which was reprinted as a book. So those people's names are known and also their locations. And in doing this, we can then sort the kind of root work they did based on where they lived, who they were related to.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you, I've already been working up family trees of these people. Literally, I have family trees now. So they weren't just random people. They were like so-and-so was so-and-so's nephew and so-and-so's sister. And they all knew the same kind of work. So it's fascinating. It's great. And I said, we're going to be doing some shows about this. I believe at least one show. Maybe a couple more. All right. Well, we have a guest tonight, Aura LaForest. Aura, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. Can you hear me, Miss Kat?
Oh, my gosh. It's sort of bad. It's that Skype connection.
Goodness. Is this a little bit better, or is it still horrible?
Yeah. Are you with us? Let me ask a question. Do you have a speakerphone on?
No, I do not.
Good, because it could only be worse with a speakerphone. Well, you sound like you're in a room that's lined with metal and is about 10 feet wide by 20 feet long.
Goodness.
Sounds like the mind
I used to work in.
Yeah, it's what I call the submarine effect. You sound like you're in a tin can. All right, well, we'll just do on the best we can. You sound like you're in a mine, that's for sure. All righty. Well, it's wonderful to have you here, despite the sound quality, and I hope that everyone just bears with us on that. Next time you call in, go over to a neighbor's house and get a landline, would you, baby?
Yes, we'll do.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
You know,
well,
we're headed towards Mercury in retrograde, so this is setting the tone. No worries we're ready. We know
yeah,
how to handle
right,
it.
Yeah, right, right. It's coming up soon. Well, let me just give a couple of words about Aura to those who are unfamiliar with her. Aura LaForest is a member of AIR. She is an herbalist and a root worker and a mother and a knitter and a fantastic maker of baths and tinctures and all sorts of products, and she is a writer. And she wrote the book Hoodoo Spiritual Baths, and which we were very proud to publish. It's a good-selling book. It's doing very, very well. People love it. She also has a Facebook page on Hoodoo Spiritual Baths where every week she posts a new recipe, mostly for what she calls bath bombs. And you got to check it out. If you haven't gotten to her Facebook page, check it out. So welcome, Aura. Tell us what you've been up to lately.
Well, I've been very blessed. I've been doing root work for some amazing clients. I've also been taking a lot of time knitting, as you already mentioned. I'm working on an afghan and a custom little baby coat. And short of that, getting ready slowly to do a little bit more root work a little bit later, and my husband's about to put the little one to bed, as you can hear in the background.
Oh, that is adorable.
The veritable baby of
yes.
which we spoke.
Yes, and he's been an incentive to do a lot more writing, so there are a couple more books slowly coming to completion with his help.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, you've been doing incredible work remodeling and redecorating your house. Folks, she posts on Facebook. If you're not friends with Aura LaForest, check her out. And if you love crafts, I mean, this is an amazing woman. And I know you're working on a book that is, we don't really have a official name for it yet, but we call it the Lucky Mojo Forum Moderator's Book of Spells. And that may
that's
be
right.
what it's called, ultimately.
Yeah, that's right. I'm compiling amazing material since the forums have come online. It has been a repository of vast, vast information. Yes, you learn how to use Lucky Mojo products and how to apply them to very different spiritual conditions, but there are also some incredible workers, many of them founding members of AIR, who have posted just wonderful, very, very powerful work on that forum. So going through the material and finding what is relevant, compiling it in a logical order so that it's easily accessible to people, because there are thousands upon thousands of pages.
Yeah. There's actually, I believe, 4,100 and some members of the forum. There are over 130,000 posts have been made. Now, many of them are just questions, but many of them are spell work from moderators of the forum. And I need to explain, if you've never been to the Lucky Mojo Forum, and I hope someone posts the URL in the chat room, it's forum.luckymojo.com. And that forum has been going since 2008, the largest forum on hoodoo, of course, that's ever been around, and it always will be because it's been around so long. And the forum is organized into different topics and areas. Part of it's just procedural, things like how you can enter our Facebook Fridays contests or, you know, hoodoo in the movies, you know, little things like that, people are doing introductions. But the two major parts of the forum, one is about the products, and those are organized by type of product, waters and washes, candles, and incense. And how to use them. Inside those sub-forums, you can go down to the name of the product, Controlling Oil, the one I just made, and it'll tell you some recipes on how to use it or questions and answers. But most of the forum traffic is about conditions, love, money, spirituality, protection, health. And this is where the really good spells have been posted. And, Aura, I cannot believe you've gone through and are going through 130,000 posts.
Wow.
Well,
that is really impressive. It really
what
is.
I have been doing, actually, this past week is formatting a page of your own fertility spells, Miss Kat, as well as doll spells that Conjurman Ali, you have some incredible doll work there, as do you, Miss Kat. So there's also some justified revenge and retribution spells that have been formatted this week. That was this week's format.
Wow. Well, this book is going to be a big one. It's going to be many pages long. It will be. It's going to be really something that people will want, because all of the moderators at the forum are graduates of my Who to Root Work Correspondence course. By the way, anybody who is a graduate under the sound of my voice and has not applied to be a moderator, you can become a moderator. You just got to take a little bit of training with our resident Schutzhund and Commander-in-Chief, the admin, Miss Aida Severini. And Miss Aida will teach you how to be a moderator at the forum and help people. It's a wonderful way to get your name out if you are a professional reader or root worker. And this book, when it comes out, we're not rushing it. When this book is ready, Aura will have really conquered the Mount Everest of modern hoodoo spell work. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to our panel, because this is what she came here to discuss. Candle divination and magic, reading and working a situation simultaneously. So as usual, I'm just going to give them a little brief introduction. If you all have my book, The Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic, you'll understand that in there I explain that you can burn what are called test candles, and you can also do spell candles. But either way, you can read the outcome in the wax, in the glass, in the candle stand, on the pie plate, or wherever it ends up. You can read smoke marks in the glass and read the flames as they flicker, and you will have readings on how well your spell is going. So it's both a divination, reading, and working. And then also, there's one other thing you can do, which is manipulating the wax as it burns. Okay, that's my introduction. So take it away, Aura. Tell us what you want to bring to this discussion.
Well, I wanted to talk about how we work with old-style tapers. We have a very, very vast body of knowledge on reading vigil lights. And vigil lights are great to keep sustained heat on a situation. I happen to prefer working with tapers. That's just a question of personal preference. They're no more or less effective. They're just different. But what I enjoy about working with tapers is preparing them ahead of time with wax, cut and sifted herbs, adding my oils directly to it. And I work all of this as I pray, usually with some incense burning. So it really gets me into the mood, and it gets my words spoken into the candle. What it also does is it changes the surface of the candle. And it allows, often, for far more interesting flow and flame play when the candle is burning. So the candle is a powerful piece of spell work set on a situation, either for myself or for a client. But at the same time, it tends to offer more divination information than just a plain anointed taper. And it's really
You know, I have to jump in here and say I agree with you so much. When I was young, these glass vigil candles didn't even hardly exist unless you were a religious person in the Catholic faith. We always worked with either tapers or cylinders. A taper candle is one which gently tapers to a point. It can be dipped. It can be molded. It can come in any kind of color. It can come in any kind of wax, beeswax, paraffin, soy, you name it. A cylinder candle is basically the same. It has a more abrupt point. Not much different after they start burning. You can go anywhere from a birthday candle on up to a 4-inch altar light, Hanukkah candle, Sabbath candle, household emergency light, and on up to your 12 and 14-inch dinner tapers, twisted Havdalah candles. All of that sort of stuff is what we're talking about, right, Aura?
Yeah, exactly. That's any of the above can be fixed in that manner as well. And it's amazing the type of designs that you'll get in the wax. And when you're working with vigil candles, people aren't always clear on it's a lot like tea leaf reading, because often the types of signs that you'll see are more limited. Whereas when you're working with a taper light and you've got a lot of this free-flowing wax happening, you really have fascinating, fascinating forms. I remember one candle that I read, the pooling of the wax in the plate below actually looked like the strength card out of a tarot deck. And it was exactly, that was specifically the meaning, was that strength card. That's what was coming up in the work that we were doing, both as the affect of the work, but also in how the client should look at the situation and address what was going on. So it really provides very, very fundamental information on how to work around your situation and around your condition, and provides a lot of very specific and point-on advice for the client. And at the same time, they're also working their situation. So it's a way to get a two-in-one. And I really, really appreciate the way the wax will speak to you. The more you work it, the more you practice, the more you understand it, the more you see it. And it's just amazing the wild variety of ways that two identically fixed candles will burn differently. And it's, sometimes I have read for clients, and I look at the reading, and depending on the type, either I'll give it to them after their week or before their week. Let's say it's a honey jar burn. And at one point, I read it after the week, and the client actually confirmed to me that that is what had occurred in their week. So it's really remarkable the type of effects that you get from it, and you're not actually influencing what happened in their week. I mean, it's already happened at that point, but that the reading is point on nonetheless. Candles are very, very insightful when they burn.
Yeah, I love these, what I call freestanding candles, kind of as a generic name for all of these types of candles. When I was a young kid, the cheap taper candles, the kind you bought at the Woolworth, were white core, and they would dip them in color based on how many they needed to sell. In other words, they were not solid color all the way because they didn't want to waste melting time on all these colors. And I got into that, and as I was taught by other people, you go down to the Woolworth, you can buy these white core candles that had, say, a red outside, pink outside, green outside, and you could carve into them with a knife, inscribe a name or a word, and do it very carefully, and it would reveal the white, the word would be in white. And that was a was very interesting to me as a way to work, because then when you did that, you would watch the wax run. The wax that ran would usually be the lower melting point colored wax, and it would run in tiers and run down the words. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure some of you have seen this. But you could divine while you were burning those candles. Just watch which way the run ran, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In the end, you'd end up with a puddle, but you sit there and watch it, you'd learn a lot. There
Even
are
the
things
way
that can be done with these, yeah.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because nowadays, of course, if you want that type of a candle, you have no choice but to melt a colored candle and fix your white candle with that, unless you get the reversing candles from Lucky Mojo. The double action are amazing for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can do that. I mean, if you want to do that kind of a thing, and this is something that, you know, again, people think about these things and have thought about them for years, you can take any kind of white household candles or 4-inch candles, 6-inch candles, 9-inch jumbos, and dip them. You'd want to dip them a couple of times in a colored wax and then be able to carve into them. You can carve out things too, you know, hearts and dollar signs or whatever you want to. I speak here as one who was an old hippie candle maker. That's what I did for my major source of income for quite a number of years, was to make candles. And I've mentioned that before on this show. And another thing that you're going to find with working with these tapers is the melting points will vary quite a bit based on the kind of wax. Don't let that drive you crazy. That's all I'm going to say. Because in the chat room, people are already going on about palm oil candles, soy oil candles, beeswax candles, blah, 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 blah. Forget it. Once you have some candles, you'll get to know how those burn. Because what we're really looking for is the difference between their average burn and what you got, right?
How about you, Conjure Man Ali? What type of candles do you enjoy working with?
You know, this topic is, I love it, because I do light vigil candles, and I think they're wonderful glass and case candles. There's always something about taper candles or freestanding candles that I seem to prefer when I do work with clients. I find that they are much, to me, they seem more active, and it could very well be a personal, you know, personality thing. I'm able to manipulate them better. I'm able to watch them, the way the wax moves, the way flame moves. And one of the things that I have done with freestanding candles or taper candles is sometimes they leave more wax than the glass encased candles. And in addition to reading the leftover wax, I will sometimes remelt that and pour that into water to do scrying and divine that way. And that's really good if, for example, it's not entirely clear the message that is coming through in the burn itself, or if I want further details, or if I want to affix certain elements of my reading or divination, I will then do this scrying. Additionally, the wax that's left over, not just for divination, can be used magically. It can be sent to clients to bury. It can be sent to clients that throw, into the crossroads. So there's a much more dynamic element to what you can do with freestanding candles, and it's one of the reasons why I prefer working with them, whether it is for divination or whether it is for magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good way to work, old-fashioned caramassi and water. Also, Madam Samantha in the chat room, I want to give a shout-out. She mentioned using crayons. And I've talked about this probably two or three times on this show since this show's been going since 2004. But I'll mention it again for people who don't listen to the old shows. When I was young, my then-partner, Tom Hall, and I used to make candles. And we would go down into the St. Vincent de Paul thrift shops. Those are run by the Catholic Church, and they had a rule that Catholic Church candles had to be made with 51% or more beeswax, and you could buy it by the pound because they had also a rule that you could only burn those candles, you could only light them once. They don't have that rule no more. But there would be pounds and pounds and pounds of these wax that was there, and you'd buy it. And then you'd go, because it was a thrift store, and you'd go and buy all the Crayola crayons. And you could then we would melt these crayons. Now, they're very soft, but they're very concentrated. They're just built basically like a candle dye. And we would have different containers that we would have the different colors of wax in and make our dipping in them. And so to anybody who wants to do their own candles, don't go buy new Crayola crayons. Just go buy the used ones. Sort them out. You don't need to be real specific. They'll sort naturally into different sets of colors, and you'll find that you get some very interesting effects that you can do by dipping in tree rings, I guess you could call it, where you say you dip them, three dips in blue, then you dip a clear, then you dip three dips in blue green and a clear, then three dips in a green and a clear, then three dips in chartreuse green and a clear, and then three dips in
chartreuse
yellow. Yeah, well, that chartreuse, and they do have that in Crayolas, and you end up with this tree ring that starts off, it'll be these different tones, it'll be different colors, and you can slice them off and make a little disc. It's a lot of fun, and I know there's a bunch of us who are crafty people, and candle making is part of the joy of working with candles, in my opinion.
Kat, you also mentioned something that you do. I hope that you can repeat for us. You said it on the radio show before, and it's a form of candle divination that I think is simple, beautiful, and straight, where you do test candles. Like if someone's doing a love case, different candles, and it's a test run. If you could talk a little bit about that, just in case people have missed it, because it's really, really great work.
Yeah, sure. This is my term for it, and yeah. And it's not an old-fashioned term. I just started calling them test candles. A test candle is a candle that you burn, and it can be a glass candle or a freestanding type of candle, figural candle, whatever you want. A test candle is a candle that you burn and do nothing to it. You do nothing to it. So you can then read the wax. You can let it go however you want it to be. In some cases, people don't even like to dress a test candle. They just want to pray on it. But let's just say you could dress it. That's fine. At the same time, you can burn another candle, same kind of candle, dressed the same way. Maybe it's a rolled candle, been rolled, you melted some wax and some crushed up herbs and rolled it up in that, and you got a wax surface with the herbs all in it. Whatever it's going to be, the other candle you burn and you manipulate it. It's called working the candle, is really what that's an old-fashioned name for it. So one candle is a test candle, one candle is a work candle. The test candle allows you to see what the situation is if you did nothing. Right? Does he love me? Will he come back? Will I get that job? Will my daughter graduate with honors? Whatever your question is, right? It's almost like horror-y candle burning, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The other candle is the one you work. So that's the one where you start oiling it and carving at it, making runnelets for the wax to come out if it starts to drown the wick, all these different things that are considered working the candle. And that goes for glass candles, too, pouring out excess wax, the wick is going to drown. You know, just things that you do in a to make a candle burn better. Then at the end, compare your two. It's a wonderful way of knowing how effective your root work is. And this is especially good if the root work you're doing is not only candle burning. In other words, if you are making a mojo, mm-hmm. if you are working dolls, if you have a sugar jar, whatever you're doing, then the test candle is like kind of the blank slate, and then the worked candle is, how am I doing? That's what I think about it. I love to do those. And we have clients who come in and only burn test candles with us at our church because they are doing the work at home. These are root workers at home, but they don't want to influence things, and they don't want maybe someone in the home to see what they're doing. So they come in and burn test candles in our church, and then we just give them a candle report or save the candle. They come up and look at it and go, got to work on that part of the thing. And they interpret their own candle burns.
A really, really awesome way to work.
Yeah. Well, there are so many things that people do with candles. It's one of those things we could probably, go on for many, many, many more minutes. One of the things I do want to touch on before we close out this subject is the way in which people become attached to certain types of candles. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The glass vigil candles are a fairly modern introduction into root work. They really hit the scene in 1976, exactly 1976. I can tell you that because the copyright dates are right on the candles. And prior to that, almost nobody used them except, as I said, Catholic people with a religious bent. And they took over when secular vigil lights began to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, many people will use vigil lights as their only form of spell work. And folks, I'm here to tell you, that is so far from effective as your only go-to thing. It's good if you have a long-standing thing. It's good. There's nothing wrong with burning vigil lights. But vigil lights should never be a substitute for true root work. It's good stuff, but it's not going to be the only stuff and never should be the only stuff. Now, many people like the vigil lights because they're so, relatively safe, relatively easy to interpret the smoke and the wax and the flame and all that stuff in them. But I like a good old-fashioned loaded candle. And Ollie is a master of loading these candles. And Ollie is kind of
master.
I love it. You're the master of the skull candles, right?
I love loading candles.
Yeah, how about you talk about that a little bit? How candles are loaded and why?
Absolutely. And this goes back to something both you've said and Aura has mentioned, that these freestanding candles, there's something more that you can do with them. Again, I'm not, dissing or dismissing in any way, shape, or form the glass candles. They are wonderful. But there's something really dynamic about freestanding candles and the way you can load them. You can load them more than you can a glass encased candle. You can put whole roots. So let's take the skull candle, right? The skull candle can be, the bottom of it can be carved out, and you can put in there a personal concern of somebody. You can put a small slip of paper. Be careful, because if it burns down, you don't need to set that thing on fire, but maybe that's what you're looking for. Sometimes I do that. You can put in roots and herbs and a whole bunch of things. I, for example, like, the way I was taught, we work with roots, and more roots. So I love working with things like master root and calamus. I got John the Conqueror, and my candles will have them. And you can do that with, you carve out the bottom, and you put in your roots, and you're praying, and you're speaking to that person the entire time. And then what wax that you scooped out, you melt again, and you cover it back up, and you light that candle, and you work it. And when I mean you work the candle, you work it. It's not a passive act. You're speaking to the candle. You're trimming the wick. You're moving wax out of the way that looks like it's going to drown. You're doing all sorts of things. You're blowing onto it. You're carving directly onto it. You're anointing. You're rubbing it. Massaging a skull candle while you speak to it. Very powerful work. Very powerful work of really massaging your power, massaging your words, massaging your influence right into their brain, right into their skull. So loading is something that's very dear to my heart, and I don't think to be honest with you, I don't think I've burned. Yeah, I can't think of any candles that I've really burnt that have not been loaded. I'm trying to think now. I'm like, have I ever done client work that I haven't loaded the candle in some way, shape, or form? Even taper candles, if I can't load it, I'm double dressing those things. I'm rolling them in herbs. I'm blowing powders onto them. Yeah, all my candles are like that, I got to say. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, in the chat room, somebody was asking about some of the stuff. I just want to put a little shout out for my own book, The Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you can find that at Lucky Mojo. It's a $9 book, a good, simple, basic intro. However, I want to make sure here that people really get some of the good old news. I designed my book to be a companion to three other books on candle magic. These were three best-selling, long-running books on candle magic.
Mm-hmm.
The Guiding Light to Power and Success by Mikhail Strabo, Master Book of Candle Burning by Henri Gamache. These came out in 1941-42. A Magic Candle by Charmaine Day came out in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to make a fourth book that kind of picked up some of the drop stitches that those books had, plus carrying it forward into our current time of vigil candles, because that had not been covered in those older books. And so if you have all four books, that will kind of be your candle library. And there are bigger books and other books and Wicca books and all kinds of books on candle magic, but those four small books will kind of give you the whole basis of figural candles, taper candles, and all types of altar work with candles. Master Book of Candle Burning, for instance, gives you altar work with moving candle spells. We haven't even talked about that really much. Moving candle spells
mm-hmm.
are those in which you move the candles around. And again, the question is working it and divination. When you
yeah.
move a candle, wax will be dripping, and as you move it, you're going to have to kind of break it out of that little piece of wax and move it onward, and you'll find these little trails of wax. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Again, anybody who can read tea leaves or coffee grounds can read wax. And I recommend anybody who wants to read wax, get a book on tea leaf reading to kind of put your head in the right place, or a book on bone reading. That would help you, either one.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll get you the idea of visionary images from, I guess, piles of wax, basically.
What a fantastic discussion this was.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Aura, for bringing this to us.
Well, thank you.
You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. We're going to have a brief break and come back with our first caller, who's going to get a reading and some root work advice.
Thank you, Miss Kat. This is Papa Nude. I needed to fill in for Miss Tammy Lee. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali. And this week's special guest, Aura LaForest, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediations. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting our callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let your announcer, Bob Benutz, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now we'll go to our phones and take our first caller, and this caller is calling from area code 917. This is Ava. Ava, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Ava, and you're calling from New York, and I have a real quick question for you, hon. You mentioned on the question four, you said no to not having a reading with Miss Kat or Conjure Man Ali, but then you mentioned 2 months ago. Did you or did you not briefly?
Yeah, I had a reading like 3 months ago with Deacon, but
okay.
This is for something else. No, I would like a reading.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know.
Okay, sir, no
yes,
worries,
would
no
like
worries. All right.
Sorry about that.
I am a... No worries. I am a psychotherapist in a private practice at home in New York City, and I'm trying to grow my business, bringing on other therapists, more cash, paying customers, etc. I want to attract safe, fiscally sound, committed clients, and to protect my practice and family with a six-year-old at home against the emotionally unstable, negative, and dangerous elements. Recently, I allowed an acquaintance to move in with me, and since... Yeah, thank you. And then things have gone downhill. She seems to be doing better as I am doing worse. I feel like I've been absorbing her negativity and finding myself exhausted. Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Okay. I'm going to ask a couple more questions here because I'm not sure what you want. You want our advice or prescription to solve the problem. And you want to know if negativity, jealousy has been thrown in your path, and how can you draw loyal professionals? You got a whole lot of questions here, so let's try to focus in because we only have that's okay, but we only have really what we can do is kind of one thing here. What are you asking about? Growing your business, bringing in other therapists, keeping your family with a six-year-old safe from having clients who might be negative, having the acquaintance leave. Get better, protecting yourself from the acquaintance. What is exactly your question?
That's so great. You're right. It is a lot of stuff. I guess the question is, I don't know. I guess the question is how
now
to bring
me,
in.
I'm gonna take a moment here. I will do a reading, but I'm going to take a moment here, and if you don't mind, I'm going to use you as a little bit of an example, not to shame you, but to say something.
Yes.
When a client cannot phrase a question, I say that the client is kind of drifting in the cloud of unknowing. They're not ready yet to hear answers because they haven't actually identified either their problems or their goals. Now, I could come to you and say, these are your problems, these are your goals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I will read all of these things in a row. But okay. The thing is, you are not focusing on any one of them. Now I'm going to ask you a couple other questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
Scorpio, rising, all of them, triple Scorpio.
Triple Scorpio, okay. So usually a triple Scorpio is a person who's pretty determined, knows what's up. So this says to me, and certainly being a psychotherapist is a good career for a Scorpio because they love to be detectives and get to the bottom of things. So I'm going to actually pick a question for you, my dear Scorpio, because I asked you to do it and you couldn't. So I'm going to say, have you been thrown for and is it the acquaintance? Okay, because we're just going to ask that question. And the acquaintance, now I'd like to know, is the acquaintance male or female?
Female.
And I'm going to be real personal here. Is this person your lover or just a roommate?
No, just a roommate. She was down and out, and she needed a place to stay. Yeah.
Oh, okay, just a roommate. And what sign of the zodiac?
God, I'm trying to remember. I don't know.
It's okay. All right. Younger than you, older than you?
She's younger than me. She's also a psychotherapist.
Ah, and does she also work with clients in the same? Okay, got it.
No,
all right.
She
so the question, she doesn't. Oh, okay, she works someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So the question is, has this person thrown negatively for you, or has some other person? We're going to focus on that person. I'm going to pull three cards, and we're going to see what we get. Okay. First question is. First card is the Page of Wands. No, she has not thrown for you. This is a younger woman who is embarking on her own career. She may have negative feelings and things going on, but this is not a cruel person. It is not a person who's harming you. It's a person who may, in fact, see you as a stepping stone and want to move on to get her own feather in her own cap, to have her own career, and to just, she's just looking to her own future. You may not be friends with her forever because she may end up moving, okay? But she is not the cause of any curse in your life. Okay. Next card is a card of the Queen of Cups. Well, this would probably refer to you, since you are a water sign woman and older than this page, and a water sign Scorpio, you know. And this woman is looking into a closed cup. She is staring at it fixedly. She's trying to figure out her future, what's going on. She tries to read the hearts and minds of men. She has one foot touching the water. This could be a case of over-focusing on your part, looking for negativity. It also can be the result of not properly cleansing yourself, because this is often a card that refers to bathing and cleansing. You may need to do some cleansing to take off the negativity of your clients. This you are using in some ways, and I hope not to offend, in addition to psychotherapy, you are also using a natural psychic gift to be able to deal with your clients. This card is the card of nurses, nurse practitioners, doctors who are look at internal organs as opposed to, you know, all over the body doctors. It can also refer to social workers, therapists of various types. And it also can be a card of card readers and scryers, people who read in water. So what I'm seeing here is that you are using your natural ability to kind of read people's minds and hearts and emotion states, but it's also causing you to have a little bit of a connection to these people. The third card is a card that is the Empress, and this is a similar woman, but now she is seen as more earth-based. She has a field of grain in front of her. She has a little stream of water, and she is a mother. This says that you are basically juggling the difference between being this insightful person working as a healer and then trying to be a homemaker. No curse is what I see. And so that's the best that I can say. Let me turn this over to Aura and see what she has to say.
Okay. Well, I'm reading with the Hurley and Borler deck today, which is not the same deck as Miss Cat, but it is a deck of tarot cards. And the three that I have, I did a quick past, present, future on to complement what Miss Cat has already told you. In the past position, I have the Ace of Wands, but reversed. So our Ace of Wands is a lot of creativity, a lot of energy that you've brought into your practice. It definitely shows that you have the flame and the fire to make it happen and to create success. In the present position, I'm seeing what Miss Cat had to say with the Queen of Cups, except I have the King of Cups here reversed. This is somebody who gives good advice. If we look at it as an aspect of yourself, because I'm really seeing the three cards here as what's occurring with you in the way that you're looking at the situation and living the situation. He's somebody who's very caring, very calm. He has a lot of wisdom and a very, very deep grasp of human nature, which is something that you have as well. You've got an intrinsic knowledge of how others are feeling, what they're thinking, and where they want to go. And in his reverse position, the way we've seen it here, you're overly attached to people's stories. A funny story from a therapist friend of mine was one that he told me where he mentioned that if you take your back off the chair even an inch when you're meeting with a client, as a therapist, you're working too hard. You're invested in what's happening.
I think that's part of the problem. I give pretty much free psychotherapy to people that I'm, like, going broke.
Okay. Well,
I need to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. It would
That's that Empress card wanting to give to everybody. The Empress is Miss Lady Bountiful.
Yeah.
Well, if you continue being Lady Bountiful, our future card here is the Tower. It's going to be very hard to keep things together if you're not able to set that limit. And particularly as a Scorpio, that can be very difficult because you do want to identify with people. You do want to help people. And you do have that deep need to connect. You're definitely somebody who would work well in community outreach programs, and you may eventually want to branch into that. But right now, particularly if you want to keep your family safe, if you want to be able to bring that success, that Ace of Wands, you started with it. It's there. right now you're just overly identifying with what's going on in your clients' lives rather than drawing the line and moving forward with your own.
Okay.
This is what the reading is telling me at this point. We're going to turn it over to Conjurman Ali and see what he has to give you as advice, unless, Ms. Kat, you have anything to add to that.
No, it's good reading.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Let Ali go.
Reading. Yeah, I think those are excellent readings, and I 100% agree. Here's what I would recommend in this situation. There's a couple things you should do. In addition to kind of the approach that you yourself are taking to the work that you do, that's something that you can practically change, and that takes time, and that takes discipline, and that takes awareness. And that's what readings are meant to do. They're giving you the opportunity to have that awareness. Root work helps to change things magically. So let's see if we can start drawing in clients, good clients, clients that bring in some money for you, and to keep away the bad, as well as to draw in allies, which is going to be quite important. What I want you to do, first and foremost, is do a nice cleansing of the house. Clean it out. Let's get rid of the bad. Get rid of anything that may be residual. Remove it all. A good cleansing, get yourself some Chinese floor wash from Lucky Mojo, dilute it in some water, and wash from top to bottom, back to front. Wash the entire house. Then I want you to get some sugar and cinnamon with some warm water, and you're going to use that to scrub the front of your house, or the front of your area, and you're going to scrub this towards the house to draw in money, to draw in happiness, to draw in people that will help you. And you're going to pray, and you're going to do this with intent, and you're going to scrub as you do this. Take the leftover of the used Chinese floor wash, remove it off of your property, take the used water of that you scrub with the sugar and water, and pour that kind of on the property. It's a bit messy, but in root work, we like messy, all right?
Okay.
Then what I want you to do is I want you to get some attraction powder, some pay me powder. Now, some people use money drawing. I actually like pay me for client-patron situations because...
Yes, because they don't
you
pay
need
me.
To, right, because you're giving out free advice and they're not paying. So that's why I want pay me in this, all right, rather than money attraction. You're going to mix them together, okay, along with commanding powder, because you need to be in charge, okay? And you're going to rub that into the carpet of where you meet your client, and only there, okay? So you're going to set off a space. This is the space where we meet. It's not going to be in the kitchen. It's not going to be anywhere else. It's going to be this space. And you are going to rub that powder in there and pray, okay? Once you've done that, I want you to take a sprig of rosemary, wrap it up with a red ribbon, and hang that in that room. Rosemary is for female power. That's the Empress card that Scott was talking about. It also ensures that you remain in charge of your home and that there is peace in the home. Okay? Finally, yes.
Can I do this? I also share an office in Manhattan with other therapists. Can I do at least the attraction and pay me in that same office or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely you could do it in the office. Put commanding. If you share an office, you put some commanding powder, like I mentioned, along with the other powders, and it'll ensure that people look to you, that you're able to take the lead there. You're a Scorpio.
Okay.
Let's bring that scorpionic energy out. All right? So put that rosemary in the house. And then the final thing that I want you to get is some boldo. Boldo is good for keeping away bad customers. And you're just going to take a pinch of this and put this at the four corners of your property, okay? And this will ward off and keep away any unwanted clients that bring too much drama, allies and coworkers that are not worthy of you, and people who are unwilling to pay. You do this working. It's simple working. It's down the roots, you know, earthy root working, and it'll turn the situation around for you spiritually and magically.
Okay. What was the name of that powder?
Really,
you said Boulder?
Boulder.
Yeah.
B-O-L-D-O, Boldo leaf. Boldo leaf has a great reputation going back many, many years in Conjure to protect a business from bad customers and clients. It came up through the prostitution world, because Boldo in the 19th century was considered to be a specific herb against gonorrhea. Mm-hmm. And so it went from being a body part wash, something ingested and something which you would douche with among prostitutes, to laying the leaves, because they would throw out the leaves that they had made the tea with to wash themselves, throw those leaves around the house of prostitution to keep out the ugly, evil clients, the ones who were violent or demanding. From there, it spread to bartenders and others who might entertain people who were not in the best of mental conditions when they came to be clients. So bartenders, club owners use Baldo. And Baldo can also be used by any shopkeeper in a bad part of town, anybody
mm-hmm.
dealing with mentally
yes.
ill clients, with violent
yep.
clients. It is a specific and is only specific for that. I mean, that's its use in hoodoo.
Yeah.
And thank you mm-hmm. so much, Ollie, for bringing up Baldo, because it's one of those things that many people just go, well, I don't get that one. But if you are in a job or a career where you may deal with people who are iffy, sketchy, troubled people, Baldo is the one herb that you will want in your arsenal. You can add it to anything else.
Yeah, I think I need something where also I can stop giving away my services for free. I just end up feeling really bad for clients, and I'd be like, okay, I'll give you pro bono, even though I need the money. I'm having
Well, that's a whole other issue now. That's a whole other issue. Why you are giving things away has to do with your positioning of yourself as a mother and as a spiritual worker. We could give you some other prescriptions at another time for how to draw money.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
But in my opinion, you need to make some firm boundaries. One of the things that the Queen of Cups has trouble with is making boundaries. At all times, her toe is touching the water.
Mm-hmm.
So even when she's doing her diagnosing, her toe is still touching the water. That is a woman who mingles and mixes her psychism with her professional insight. This is a problem, and you should be able to try to remedy that through conscious work
mm-hmm.
on your own self. In other words, it's
right.
not necessarily spell work. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody
Thank
else
you so
have
much.
Anything
I appreciate
else to add?
Well, I would actually suggest salt baths at the end of your work days.
Salt baths?
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that even though I'm pregnant? Is that safe?
Yeah. Salt water is not
salt
a problem.
Bath.
And
okay.
They really help create that closure and to get
okay.
rid of
mm-hmm.
the daily nasties.
Yeah,
yes.
There are many types of baths that people use to bring closure when they're working with clients. I personally prefer to spritz with Van-Van. That's just my personal favorite. I know people who the smell of Van-Van just doesn't work for them. Mint is another one that cuts things off. Lemon cuts things off. Some people will actually take and cut a lemon and put a little lemon juice or drink lemonade or lemon tea. There are many different cutting herbs that will stop you from being stuck in a state that will enable you to be able to make a state change.
Mm-hmm.
And the state change is what you need to do. And it's not a question of ridding yourself of the clients, but of saying, I am making a state change. I am now done with work for the day, you know. So everyone does it differently. Miss Michael recommended Hindu grass oil as another form of the same thing. All right.
Thank you so much
for your call.
I really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Folks are listening to Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. We're going to go to a little break, and when we come back, we'll have our second client reading with our guest Aura LaForest and my co-host, Conjure Manali.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to our phones and take our next caller. Our next client is calling in from area code 212, New York City. This is Vanessa. Vanessa, are you there?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you are very welcome. And I do notice that you are calling in on the same situation that you've been going to a Santero since September of 2012. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And Vanessa writes, my daughter's father cheated on me during my pregnancy, impregnated the other woman, then left our newborn baby and me 5 days after my C-section in December of 2011. December, I found out he married the other woman and gave her everything I had wanted. In 2014, he saw my daughter twice for about an hour each visit. He does not answer my texts or calls since he got married. I wanted this other woman out of the picture and to pay for her meddling. I have worked with a Santero for 2 years and have done some hoodoo work as well. I did a cut and clear using Meta Pamita's YouTube tutorial. I met someone, but he just ran away. What is going on with my love life? Turning it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Gosh, I'm really sorry to hear that you had an unreliable reproductive partner.
Yes,
it's a sad story. Many, many women face it, and the best you can do is carry on with your daughter. All right. I'm going to, before we go to the reading, I'm going to clarify just a couple of few things here. You said you did a cut and clear using Madame Pamita's YouTube tutorial. Madame Pamita is a member of AIR. The cut and clear spell, was this for you to rid yourself of residual feelings to the man?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then you found somebody else, right?
Correct.
But now you're still trying to get the other woman out of the picture. So
yes,
the cut and clear needs to be done again. I'm going to tell you right up front that cut and clear is not operative as long as you keep going back and getting involved. Now you need to do cut and clear from the other woman. And I mean it, because this other woman is powerful. She is able to do things. And every time your influence gets in between her and your ex, she's going to cut you down and knock you over. So you're going to have to let that go. Now, having said that, I'm going to turn it over to Ali for their reading. But I knew he was going to say this anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right on the money, you know, that psychic reading right there. And there's really a wisdom there, because this other woman could be good, evil, whatever it is, but she also is a mother. She also is tied to this man. She also has certain ties. And unfortunately, her tie is that he's with her, and that gives her an advantage. So long as you're continuing to battle her, you're losing what's in front of you, right? You're not focused on moving on. You're still focused on her and them. And I understand your pain, and I understand your frustration. I really do. But I must say, I'm always slightly confused as why the anger isn't directed at the good-for-nothing man. That's
it
just
is,
me.
It is both, but the question was edited. But the anger is directed towards both.
Right. If you have this anger, it needs to go away, right?
Okay.
It needs to be healed. It needs to completely be gone. Cut and clear, it's one of those amazing things where if you do it right, you will literally run into both of them, and it won't be like you hate them. It'll just be, it will have no effect on you, no negative effect. Yo, how are you doing? You're doing lovely. That's great. Well, my life is doing wonderful as well. Hope you have a great day and you walk on. That's what you're supposed to be. That's when you've completely moved on, you can move on, and you can be happy. And I see that in the very first card that I have here, which is the Five of Pentacles. This shows us two individuals in an impoverished state, broken, bruised, tattered by the cold weather, in the dark, walking in the snow, but they don't realize that right behind them is the warmth of a cathedral. All they have to do is turn away from their misery and they can find succor. You're still in this state, this impoverished state. And while someone came, they ran away because you are still in that negative state, in this kind of darkness and coldness of the night. You need to turn away from it and look at the warmth that is made available to you. That, for me, the warmth of the cathedral is about forgiveness. It's about letting go. It's about healing your own heart. And that's what the cut and clear is all about. It's a sad state to be in, but you don't have to be in it forever. Help is right there. Your ability to change your situation is right there. You are not cursed, and you are certainly not meant to be alone. The next card is the Six of Swords. The Six of Swords is specific to you moving on. It shows us a woman huddled in a skiff or boat with her young child, that's you, and there is a guide that is helping row her from her current state into the future. And it's not an easy process. I'm not, you know, it's easier for me to tell you these things, but I know it's harder to do. It is much harder. Because in front of this woman are six swords that block the way, and around her, the waters are very rocky. She's got a process to go through before she finally reaches the paradise that is on the other side of the water. You're in that journey, but you need a guide to help you. I would recommend getting some prayer work or someone who can assist you. So, for example, while you're doing the cut and clear work, I would suggest going to the Crystal Silence League and putting in a prayer for you and your child. I would suggest getting a root worker to light some candles for you or do some cleansing work for you. Going to Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church and having them light some candles to back up your own work. This is, I really do think that someone else to kind of guide you while you do the work yourself is the way forward. Once you're in that process, it's not going to be easy, but you will be able to move on. And I can give you that hope with the final card, which is the Eight of Wands. The Eight of Wands shows as the arrows of Cupid flying through the sky over verdant green field. This is change and change that comes fast. So you're not going to see something that, you know, takes months and months and months to manifest. It will happen quickly. You do this cut and clear with sincerity, with honesty and conviction, and you truly want to move on within a matter of probably a month. At the latest, by around March, you will find someone else who will come into your life and bring you the happiness that you want. So rapid change is on the way, okay?
That's good to hear.
I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues to see what they can add to this situation by shedding some more insight.
Okay.
All right. So let's see if we get a reading from Aura.
Well, I have cards out here, and in the past, we definitely see that it hasn't been an easy road for you. The Ten of Swords is not the card that we want in any reading, but if we're going to have it in a reading, we're better off having it in the past than in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely shows it shows somebody with arrows in their back, 10 swords that have been stabbed there. So it's the type of card where not only do you have injury, but you have insult added to injury. It only takes one sword to kill someone, and this is just having all of those wounds salted over and over again. And it's probably one of the reasons it's been so difficult to let go, and it has been so difficult to heal. It came to get you on very, very many levels. It went in deep, and it doesn't only affect your own life, but it affects the wonderful life that you brought into this world as well.
Mm-hmm.
In the present, in the Hurley and Horler deck, we have a white card. And the white card is a new beginning. This is what can happen if we do a cut and clear. It's that ability to completely start over and reset. It's you start the game, you go back to go, you get given $200, and you begin anew. When I get this card, rather than drawing just one in the future, I always draw two. Because usually we have more than one path set before us. And in this case, I drew two because you've done a cut and clear before, and you've gone back to the same way of thinking again. And it shows that this will be a tendency. The first alternate future is the Seven of Cups. Now, the Seven of Cups is falling back into your illusions, letting your imagination run wild, and just going at it again. You get back into that vicious brain circle where your head rehashes the same things over and over again. And it feels a little bit like being stuck in a hamster wheel, and you don't know where to go from there. It's a very unpleasant place to be, and you've probably experienced it a lot, where you will mull over the same facts again and again and again. The problem with doing that and entering into that pattern of thinking is it doesn't allow you to move forward, not only in your love life, but in the rest of your life. What I'm seeing here is the other alternate is the Three of Pentacles. And it tells me that when you're indulging in this way of thinking, you're not focused and you're not committed to making things work in your daily life with your family as it is right now. Your focus is best placed in building a solid future. That Three of Pentacles is all about creating a solid space on which to build, a foundation, a bedrock. And as you have that routine and you create that foundation and you work on that material, making sure that your ends meet, making sure that you've got food on the table, that you're working and enjoying the time you spend with your child, what Contraman Ali said, that Eight of Wands is going to be able to come in there, to rush in there. Life happens and love happens when we're busy living our lives. And what that card tells me is that you need to be busy living your life rather than indulging in how it could, should, would have been. So that cut and clear is going to be pivotal to creating that strong future where those arrows of love from that Eight of Wands can really move in and communicate, where you can open heart to heart with someone else honestly and not informed by your past, which is right now with very, very much on your mind.
Correct. Absolutely right.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you some root work advice. Number one, you might want to do that cut and clear spell again. Madame Pamita teaches it very well on YouTube. You can read it at my site. There's many ways to do it. I'm going to give you a recipe for a tea that can also be used as a bath. Okay, this is a love drawing tea bath, but when you make it as a tea, I'd like you to start off at first having, you know, just sweetening it a little bit. You don't have to put sugar in your bath. Some ladies do not like that, some do, but you can put sugar also in the bath. And this is a bath that's going to contain a series of love drawing things, so I'd like you to write these down. If somebody would be so kind as to write this in the chat log for me, because I can't be writing at the same time as I'm talking. So I'd like you to put in red clover.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to put in ginger. Not too much, because you're going to drink it, so it can't be too hot, right?
Okay.
I'd like you to put in hawthorn berries.
Hawthorn?
Which are good for hawthorn berries. They're good for the heart. I'd like you to put in hibiscus petals. They will turn your tea and bath pink or red, depending on how much you put in. Okay? The pink and redness is part of what we're doing right here. Okay? And juniper berries. And that's a good combination. If you wanted to add more things and really make a fabulous combination, you could add a little bit of cinnamon, too, to get a wealthier man if you wanted. But I don't think that's important, really. And you could, there's other herbs that are used for love drawing. Raspberry is another one, raspberry leaves. But right now, just stick with what I said, as an easy starter. I want you to make that tea. And and you can pre-prepare it. In other words, mingle up the stuff. And then put it in water, steep it, infuse it. And I want you to drink some and then bathe with some. And any of the leftover leaves or petals, I want you to scatter around your property and in an inward manner to bring someone to you. When you do this, I also want you to have a little spell going with two lodestones. Again, you can read these online. You can see them at my website. You're going to take two lodestones, name one for you and one for your future husband, and bring them closer, closer, closer together. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to go under your bed when you're done. And you can do it with a red candle. There's many, many ways that you can do these lodestone drawing spells. You can use tiny little lodestones as riders on the bigger lodestones and put the two little lodestones together in a little bag or pouch and just put that in your purse or carry it with you, wear it on you, however you want to do it. There are many ways to use lodestones to draw new love. But I would like to see you make some positive steps that are about drawing love. Now, if you find yourself going back to must punish that woman, must punish that man, I want you to drink sour lemonade. No sugar. Just drink it. Just take lemon, squeeze, drink it. Warm. This is what I get for when I think these thoughts. Down the hatch.
Okay.
Right? When you think about love, drink that tea I mentioned to you and add a little bit of honey or sugar to it. This is to draw new love. You're going to be having a lot of tea in your life.
Yes, I am.
All right.
But
all
a
right.
lot of tea,
and
you can't go wrong with a lot of tea.
Well, it's good and good for you. All right.
Exactly.
Now I know that Ali also has in the past given different love baths, and one of the things he often uses is violet leaf in a bath to heal the heart. But I'm really
mm-hmm.
not working for healing the heart. I'm just talking about, you know, get rid of that old thing and get the new one going
yes.
on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you.
So,
I agree.
And I'm going to answer your question. I sort of alluded to this at the beginning. You asked, what is going on here? What's going
yeah.
on is you keep on attacking this lady. And this lady may be out of your class. In other words, this lady, she got the man, she got the baby, she got the marriage, and you come around her, she's going to punch you in the head, spiritually. So just give it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell
yeah.
you, you could hire somebody else. You've hired a Santero. You've been doing it 2 years.
Yes.
This lady's got something going on. And as Ali
mm-hmm.
kind of alluded to, she has a right to. She has a baby, you know. That's my advice. Now, you've been hiring this Santero. Are you a member of the Santeria religion?
No. He was recommended.
No.
He was recommended.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is she a member of the Santeria religion?
I don't think so. And every time I went to him, he said that not, you know, there was no work being done by this other woman.
Well, I'm
so,
I don't know.
I know you're saying.
I think that, I'm not saying that there's work being done. I'm saying this lady is protected as hell. In other words, she may not be coming after you. That's what I'm trying to say. She's not
mm-hmm.
trying to come after you. She's got a perimeter defense
yes.
mirroring everything back to
yes.
you. Send her fang right back at you.
Yes, she's on. She's high up on the hill. That's what I see, on a fortress.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see what other root work advice. Aura, do you have any ideas of some root work advice to add?
Well, actually, the free spell that I was going to discuss a little bit later is right spot on for this. It's meant to open the road to love. But
mm-hmm.
in the meantime, I'd have to say that tea, Miss Kat, is just brilliantly inspired. I am very fond of working with teas internally and externally, and I think that Miss Kat really, really nailed it with that. If you don't want to have the lemonade to get the thoughts out, another one that's often used in herbalism is a great big glass of water with a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar in it.
Okay.
It's going to be excellent for your liver, and it will definitely not make you want to think those thoughts anymore.
Well, that's a good one. Apple cider vinegar, that's right. Boy, that'll do you in right away. And it is good for you. It's actually a health benefit, but it also cuts. It's a cutting of that thought pattern that's leading you down into repeated moments of despair and repeated moments. You know, focus on your child, focus on the future.
Mm-hmm.
This situation, you're not going to prevail is what we're saying here.
Okay.
You need to move on. And, you know, sometimes it's so hard to say, I put 2 years trying to condemn this lady. Well, you can't. You give it up and, seek peace in your own life. Seek your own goals and try to do what's best for yourself. And that's what I would do.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Good luck to you. Okay, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with me, your host, Catherine Ironwood, my co-host, Conjurman Ali, and our special guest, Aura LaForest. And we'll be right back after this break with a free spell from Aura LaForest.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candela's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma Shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Thank you, Naga Shiva, for that wonderful, wonderful clip. Now we will go on to our wonderful free spell segment of the show with Aura LaForce of AuraLaForce.com. Take it away, Aura.
Well, like I said, we're going to have a candle spell to open the road to love. You're going to need a red pillar candle, and you're going to roll it in wax, as we discussed earlier, with finely cut broom herb, finely cut lemon balm, and finely cut heart's ease or violet leaf, cut and sifted. You're going to add a few drops of road opener oil and a few drops of Dixie root in oil. And you're going to prepare that candle while reading from the Song of Solomon. You set it on a plate or on a cookie sheet over a photo of yourself with your petition to open the roads towards love. In front of the candle, you're going to use Lucky Mojo's Love Herbs mixture to draw a road starting very, very narrow at the foot of the candle and opening up wider and wider and wider, moving towards the front of the cookie sheet or towards the front of your altar. On that road, closest to the candle, you place a whole Dixie John root. A little bit further forward, you'll need a heart-shaped stone of some kind. The red-banded agate hearts that Lucky Mojo carries are excellent for this. And then you can go forward and add a chunk of myrrh. You want a good big chunk. You don't want tiny little pieces. You're going to brew yourself a cup of lemon balm tea, which is an amazing road-opening herb specifically for love. It helps you leave behind the bad that came before and open yourself up to what will come in the future. Now you start burning that candle while drinking a cup of the tea. Once you're done your cup of tea, you snuff out the candle and you do the same thing the night after, and the night after, and the night after, and you want this to take at least 13 days. It can take more if you want, but you really want to give it the time, burning a wee little bit every time. Once the candle has burnt out completely, you're going to take the herbs, your petition that you're going to fold along with your personal concerns, the Dixie John root, the heart-shaped stone, and the chunk of myrrh, and you're going to place them into a red mojo bag. You're going to smoke it in Adam and Eve incense, bringing it to life while praying the Song of Solomon again. And you're going to keep that mojo either under your bed, in your bra, or pinned into your underwear until you meet your new destined partner.
Wow. That is really, really good. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to play catch-up with you here, posting this in the chat room, because Papa G tried to send me a private message. Guys, do not send me private messages during the show. Can't handle it. I am legally blind, cannot see my screen, typing by Braille, and now the entire spell just went into Papa G's private message.
copy and paste.
So there we go. But I'm trying to get it all out here. And I think I lost the last part of it. I got at do this for 13 nights. And what was the last thing you said?
The last part is you take all of the herbs on that road that you set up, made with the love herbs mixture, and you're putting that into a mojo bag that you smoke with Adam and Eve incense.
Ah, okay.
You've created your road of love. And you can keep it with you.
Wow. That's a fantastic spell, and it would have been better if I'd been able to type it. Sorry about that, folks. I do the best I can. So, you know, when you do something like this, a very elaborate spell, and isn't it interesting, Aura, this really was, as you said, the spell for our previous caller.
Yeah, and I wrote this afternoon. I've used it for myself before, but I only wrote it out. I was thinking that would be good.
Wow. Wow.
Funny how it
works out. Wow. But, yeah, this is amazing. So, just again, to kind of recap here, what we're going to do is you're making a road opening spell with a candle that has been dressed. There's a path, a road. On it, there are different objects. Those objects will then be gathered up and put into a mojo and smoked with incense.
But I think the best tea for that would be the tea that you prescribed to our caller, and it was brilliant. It was inspired because I was thinking of the spell and thinking, wow, that tea is just fabulous.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, folks. I'm going to turn this over to our announcer and give us a closeout here.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjure Man Ali, and thank you, Aura LaForce of AuraLaForce.com in Quebec, Canada, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week as our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Papa G of WhiteMojo.com in Nashville, Tennessee, bringing next week's panel discussion of Taking the Magic Within, Hoodoo Food and Drink. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat online via forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at conjuremanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and this show are available in archive via thelucky.mojo.com/radioshow.html. From all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, Papa Newton. Thank you. Thank you, Aura. And it was wonderful to have you here. I'd like to turn this over to Conjureman Ali. He has a few closing words.
Thank you, Ms. Kat, and thank you, everyone, for tuning. And for those who are fans of the show, they know that one of the regulars of this show and a dear friend and a member of AIR, Dr. E, also known as Eddie, passed away last year. This weekend was his memorial, put on by Beverly Smith and Vicky, his mother, and Beverly, his friend and colleague, who is also part of the Lucky Mojo Network. Myself, Deacon Millett, and Kai Armand from AIR attended, and it was a beautiful ceremony. Since it is his memorial, if you are a friend of his or a client, remember to set a light. And if he touched your lives in any way, just remember what he taught you, remember what he gave you, and also remember to cherish your loved ones. And that's all I have to say, and have a blessed week.
All right. Thank you. And we all miss Eddie terribly.
We do.
And thank you for attending his memorial, and all our love to Vicki, Beverly, and everyone who loved Eddie.
Clayton.
All right. All right. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.